Glory to God. 1 Timothy chapter 2. Therefore, I exhort first of all that supplications, prayers, intercessions, and giving of thanks be made for all men. Now, you may think I'm going to talk about prayer, and I may, but that's not really why I went to that scripture. Yes, certainly pray for those in authority and so forth, but notice what it does say and not take anything away from it. It says, supplications, prayers, intercessions, and giving of thanks be made for all men. That means, I'm sure, all humans. I'm sure it's not referring to the male of the species. It means all humanity, man or woman. That's what it means. Giving of thanks be made for all men. That means even me. That means even your wife. That means even your husband. That means even your mother, your father, your children. That means even yourself. Well, I said that the Bible says giving of thanks be made for all men, all humans. Are you human? Are you one of those came down through evolution? That's just a little joke, very little, but when you're me, you try for anything you can get. Be giving of thanks be made for all men. You know, I'm a little bit early, I guess, to be talking about Thanksgiving, because it's not quite Thanksgiving. And those of you that have been around here a while, you know that's a subject I harp on quite a bit, because it's in the Bible, Colossians 3:15, it says, be thankful, be thankful, be thankful. One of the things it says in 2 Timothy chapter 3, verse 2, talking about the latter days, perilous times will come. And one of the characteristics of people in those times, these times, I would say, is disobedient to parents, unthankful. Unthankful. That's one of the characteristics, it says, 2 Timothy 3:2, if you're looking to check up on me, is that one of the characteristics of the latter days people will be unthankfulness. I look through my file. I have a filing system I use sometimes, and looked under there, and I found that I'd put a note in there, and it's good, you know, if you have a filing system, you have somewhere to put your notes so you know where to find them. And I found a note I'd written. It said that gratitude is a sign of maturity. How many of you realize that when that baby is in diapers and you're changing its diaper, well, it may quit squalling when it's dry and clean, and may signify its thanks by that, but it's not very appreciative of all you're doing for it, is it? The little scoundrel anyway. Isn't that the truth? It's not rising up and calling you blessed. No. It's rising up all right in the middle of the night, right during dinner, right when you're talking on the phone, rising up and squalling and bawling. That's what it's doing. It's not very grateful at all. And unfortunately, some of those same characteristics seem to carry through when they're 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10, 11, 12, 13, 14, 15. But it... let's not get too personal here. But generally, with more age, more maturity, most people will realize, especially after they have to diaper the baby, well, then they'll come back and say, well, thanks, Mom. I know you put up with a lot here. Isn't that right? Gratitude or being thankful is a mark of maturity. The opposite would have to be true then, wouldn't it? If you're not very thankful, well, you're pretty immature. I think this applies in the spiritual just as well as it applies in the natural. If we're not very thankful to God, it shows that we're pretty immature. We're just babies. We've got a long ways to go. Well, all of us have got a long ways to go, but some of us are bigger babies than others, I guess. You missed a good chance to say amen there, didn't you? Well, I was referring to myself as a little bigger baby than somebody else, in the sense of maybe a little bit further along, I hope. I hope I'm further along than some people. I know I'm not further along than everyone, but I hope I'm not the laggard of the whole body of Christ. Okay. I exhort, first of all, supplication, prayers, intercession, giving thanks be made for all men. Gratitude is a sign of maturity. And God doesn't want His people, His body, His children to be unthankful. And I've been thinking about it lately. I think the only way to be happy, the only way to be happy. How many of you would think that there's probably thousands and thousands of people that give $1,000 today if they could hear a true message of the only way to be happy? I mean, there are people out there that are spending hundreds, thousands, spending their lives, all kinds of things. They're trying to be happy, aren't they? Isn't that what everybody's out there doing? They're trying to be happy. Well, I guess I'm not the world's greatest philosopher. Don't understand everything there is to know. But, you know, God does. And He can give us little truths. And sometimes, obviously, He doesn't give us everything He knows or the whole truth about a certain truth. But I think that this is the case. The only way to be happy is to be thankful. You think about it. If you've ever been happy in your life, you were thankful for something. It goes together. Now, in other words, something good happened that you were glad about, you were thankful about, you appreciated that thing happening, and so you were happy, right? Now, if that's the case, we can turn it around and start being thankful and then start being happy. Do you see what I'm saying? Instead of you waiting for something to come along that you really appreciate and that's good and great and makes you want to jump up and down for happiness, just have our eyes opened to see all the good that there is, and then we'll be happy. Well, I thought that was such a profound message, but I don't know if you all were smart enough to catch it or just what the problem was. Anyway, I think probably that the best thing that could happen to us, you're not going to like this, probably the best thing that could happen to every one of us would be to spend the next year in a communist prison and then get rid of our television set. That's probably the best thing that could happen to you. Now, I don't imagine we're going to have any volunteers. Why do I say that? I'm not wishing that. I'm not praying that for you. But probably that would really be good for us. Why? Because we'd get a better... By being in the prison, like if you're a prisoner of war, you're in this no good, horrible hole. Why would that be good for you? Well, if it gets your perspective right. Realize what's important in life and what's not so important. Realize a lot of things. Have time to think. Have time to talk to God. And then, when you came back, and how many... I don't want to embarrass anyone. You know me, I don't want to embarrass you, but so don't raise your hand, but when's the last time that you thank God for your shower? Clean up, you know, shampoo, soap. Well, if it was previous to today, it was too long ago. When's the last time you thank God for your bed? Well, I bet that if you spent a year in a communist prison, I bet you'd never let a day go by without thanking God that you had that nice warm electric blanket. I bet if you spent a year in a communist prison camp, you'd never let a day go by without thanking God that you had a nice warm shower and that you had a nice warm home and that you had nice warm clothes and that you had good food to eat. I bet you'd never let a day go by that you didn't thank God for the trees, for the flowers, for the sunlight, for the fresh air. I bet you'd never let a day go by that you weren't thankful for a lot of things that you might be taking for granted now. That's why I say that probably might be one of the best things that could ever happen to you. Get your perspective right. And then moving quickly on before you all go to sleep. The second thing I mentioned was the TV. Now, you say, preacher, why are you preaching against the TV? I'm not preaching against the TV as such. I'm just against the things on it, I suppose would be a good way of saying it. You heard me preach this before, but I want to remind you, I think the television set is probably, if not the main cause, at least a main cause of unhappiness in our world. It's the main cause of unhappiness. Why? Well, there's a lot of reasons why. But just let me remind you that everything you see on that thing is unrealistic. It's not real. It's not real. Even when you watch a program about them scuba diving in the Bahamas, it's not real. What do you mean, preacher? It's not real. You mean there really aren't fish down there? You mean they really don't have that nice sand on the beach? No, I'm sure they got all that stuff. But what I mean is somebody's going to spend weeks or months photographing, filming all that, and then they're going to take and cut the film down to 30 minutes, an hour, whatever. You go down there and you think just everywhere you turn your head, you're down there scuba diving. Well, there's going to be this nice school of fish. No, there isn't. Some of it's not going to be that great. Some of it's just going to be blank. See? And every dive you make may not be perfect. It wasn't for them either. They might have made 10, 20, 30, 50 dives to get all that footage on film. Then they go in the editing room, cut it down, and just give you the very cream, the very best of it. And so what you get is an unreal picture, unreal idea of how good things are. And then you go along in life, you go to the Bahamas, and you have a couple of bad dives, you're real upset. It's not as good as it's supposed to be. You're always let down in life. Always disappointed because nothing measures up to the unreality of what they put on the television screen. You're very few people are going to be as beautiful as the beauty queens that they have on television. Very few men are going to be as big and strong as Hulk Hogan or as dedicated as Rocky or whatever. Isn't that right? Very few of us are able to measure up to the very top in every area. And that's what television gives us. It gives us the very top in every area. We can turn on the wide world of sports and we can see them setting new records week by week. We can see the cream of the cream. We can see people that can jump further than we can and throw a ball further than we can, that look more beautiful than we ever will, that make more money than we can even hardly imagine. We can see it. And let's talk about flowers. God didn't make every flower the same. And He didn't make every human the same. Different flowers bloom at different times and put off different aromas and look differently. God wanted them to be different. God was interested in people being different. He didn't want us to all wear the same size Levi's. I just threw that in because I wanted to make it unisex, you know. I didn't want to say God didn't want us to all wear the same size skirt, because anyway, I don't have to explain it, I guess. Just preach it, huh? God is interested in there being differences in people. He didn't make us all to be one exact type of person. He wanted some of us to weigh more than others. Hey, are you listening? Now me, he wanted to weigh quite a bit more. I just happened to be one of the lucky ones. No, I mean it. It's the truth. Different people have different kinds of physical build. The size of bone you have, you don't determine that by your dieting, do you? Different people have different frames and made differently and so forth and so on. Well, God wanted us to be different. But you watching that TV, they're going to put the ideal up before you and you're going to fall short. If you don't fall short in one area, you're absolutely, positively bound to fall short in other areas. Because God has only made one human being, three human beings that were perfect. Adam and Eve and Jesus. Right? The rest of us have had areas where we're not quite up to the standard of Jesus yet. Isn't that correct? So even if you are the beauty queen and you're not disgusted all the time by how ugly you look compared to what they look like on TV, you probably can't throw the football as far as John Elway or something or other. There's going to be areas you fall short in. Not only that, but on TV, things always work out in 30 minutes. If not 30 minutes, at the very maximum 1 week, if it's to be continued by the next week, you know that it's going to work out. Right? It's so unrealistic. Life isn't like that. There are problems in life that it's going to take you years that you'll be facing them. You say, how discouraging can you be? It's the reality. There's some things, and I don't mean that you can't walk in victory. I don't mean that you have to let the thing defeat you. But that's just the way it is. Life is like the kingdom of God. It's like a seed. You plant the seed and the thing grows. I'll tell you what. You plant a seed for a baby, that thing starts growing. If you don't kill it off at some place or another, you're going to have what I would call a problem on your hands for several years. Now, you may say, well, it's also a blessing. Yeah, they're a blessing, all right. But how many of you know that they can... Well, let's just put it this way. Your life was simpler without them. You had less work to do without them. Now, we're not saying we wished we didn't have children. We're just facing the facts. There are some things you get into, you don't get out of them overnight. And that doesn't mean that once you get through it, you're not glad for the experience. But it also doesn't mean that sometimes when you're right in the middle of it, and you're sitting there surrounded by dirty diapers, you're surrounded by dirty dishes, and your husband acts like he doesn't even care anyway, and you just may think, what am I doing here? I just want to get out of this. I wish I'd have been somebody else. I wish I was somewhere else. I wish anything else other than what I am, than this. Every human being is subject to that. It doesn't matter whether it's you or it's your boss. It's the myth of the greener grass. The employee thinks, man, I wish I was the boss and I could do what I want. The boss is many times tempted with the thought, man, I wish I was just one of my stupid employees and I wouldn't have all this responsibility. I'd just come in here, get my paycheck and walk out, you know. Be great. That's the way it is with everybody. That is the way it is with everyone. Do you understand? Everybody is always going to be tempted to think, man, I got it bad. I got it bad. Oh, this is rough. Nobody else has it as rough as I do. If I could just trade places with someone. Well, if you could talk to them, they'd probably trade you. I don't think you can be happy without being thankful. I haven't read any details on this for some years, but I suppose it hasn't changed because, after all, people don't really change. Things go on. But I read years ago that suicide rate was higher among rich people. Now, most people wouldn't think that. Well, after all, they've arrived. You know, they can go to the Bahamas. They don't have to stay here on the job like me. They could go to Europe. Well, I mean, why? They could do a lot of things. Why don't they want to take their life? If somebody ought to take their life, it ought to be me. Nobody'd even miss them. But them, I mean, man, they got it. They've arrived. That just points out the fallacy in it, because they're not happy even if they got the money. Now, that applies on every level. I guarantee you, getting a new car or a new house isn't going to make you happy for too long. You say, oh, well, let me try it and we'll see. But if your perspective isn't right, if your attitude isn't right, getting that different car or different husband or different wife or different house or different job, it's not going to help for very long. You got one car, you want two. You got this house, well, you want to take a vacation. You took a vacation, you want to take two this year instead of just one like you had last year. You had two this year, you think, well, I want two every month. It's not going to make you happy. Jesus said, a man's life, and I'm sure he didn't mean just the male, a human's life consisteth not, here I'm talking King James, because that's what I remember, a man's life consisteth not in the abundance of the things that he possesseth. Doesn't consist in abundance of possessions. Jesus is not trying to make you poor. Jesus is not trying to rob you of joy and make you miserable. Jesus is trying to point out to you the truth that just having things is not going to make you happy. Now, I believe we should have things. I believe we should have an abundance of things. I believe that 1 Timothy 6:17 says God gives us richly. That means in abundance, a bunch, all things to enjoy. But if we're trying to get our satisfaction and happiness out of things, we won't enjoy them. We won't enjoy them. There'll be a weight to us. There'll be something like a rock that's tied to us, and we're dropped in the water. It'll drown us. It'll stifle our happiness. But if we have the right perspective, we can be happy. We can be like the Apostle Paul, Philippians 4. 10 or 11, I've learned in whatever state I am therewith to be content. Rotherham says to be independent of circumstances. That's the key. If you can get independent of circumstances, then you can be content wherever you are. You can be happy if you're eating a hot dog or a steak. Not be grumbling. That brings up something very important. Numbers chapter 11. Look at this verse. This is a good one to look at occasionally, like about every hour, just to remind yourself. Let's see, Genesis, Exodus, Leviticus, Numbers. There we are. Chapter 11. This won't take long. Now when the people complained, it pleased the Lord. Funny how a little three letters can change the meaning entirely, isn't it? No, it says when the people complained, it displeased the Lord. when the people complain, it displeased the Lord. Now, let me ask you, did they have a right to complain? Come on, did they have a right to complain? Were they in trouble? Were they in a bad situation? Yeah. McDonald's was closed and Colonel Sanders was too far to walk. They didn't have any meat to eat. Right? They had it rough. I mean, their dinner had been delayed not just by hours, days. Days and weeks. How many of you would put up with it for days and weeks and not complain, huh? Don't raise your hand. But how many of you have ever complained about anything to the Lord? Oh dear. Time to repent, isn't it? Well, I don't desire to displease the Lord. I don't desire to suffer, but I don't desire to displease the Lord. I don't desire to go hungry, but I don't desire to displease the Lord either. I don't want to displease the Lord. He's done so much for me. He's so good. He's blessed me so much. I would like to please Him. I don't feel like I do very much, but if I ever get the chance, that's my desire to be on that side, the side that pleases the Lord. Whatever else I do, if I can please the Lord, I'm happy about it. When the people complained, it displeased the Lord. Well, over in 1 Corinthians chapter 10, when it talks about this incident, about a murmuring, it said these things were written for our example, upon whom the end of the ages come. To be an example. In other words, they were a bad example. Don't follow that example. Don't follow the example that gets you in trouble. Follow the example that is good. Be ye thankful. Colossians 3:15 says. Ephesians 5:4 says, talking about some things which are not convenient, but it says, but rather giving of thanks. Giving of thanks is always appropriate. Being thankful, having an attitude of gratitude is always appropriate. There's never a time in life when that's out of place. You say, but oh, there's so much bad around. There's so many bad things. I know it. But God is not the one that's responsible for the bad. He's not the one liable for the evil. That was mankind and the devil's fault. It's not God's fault. Do not err, my beloved brethren, James tells us, 1:16. Do not err, my beloved brethren. That means even beloved brethren can err, can make mistakes. Do not err. Do not be in error, my beloved brethren. Every good gift and every perfect gift comes down from above, from the Father of lights, with whom is no variableness, neither shadow of turning. That means He's not good one day and bad the next. That means He's not blessing you one day and taking it away from you the next. That means, as far as our relationship with God, there's nothing that's come from the hand of God that we can't and shouldn't be thankful about. The Bible says giving thanks for everything. Well, some people get that mixed up a little bit. And partial truth. And give thanks for what the devil's done. Well, it's a whole lot better, my friend. It's a whole lot better for you to be thankful for cancer. Listen to me. It's a whole lot better for you to be saying, Lord, I thank you for this cancer. Listen, it's better for you to be saying that than it is for you to be saying, God, why did you do this to me? I'm mad. I'm mad. This is terrible. It's no good. I mean, even a doctor or a nurse, any doctor or nurse would tell you which attitude is going to be more conducive to your health. Now, the real truth of the matter is that God didn't give you the cancer, so you don't have to thank Him for it. If I go to your house and you fix me a nice lunch, you have all kinds of good things, just delicious, wonderful, superb. I get up, go to the door, and I say, "Thanks for everything. That was wonderful. Thanks for everything. Everything was so good." Does that mean, when I say that, do I mean by that, "Thank you for killing those Afghanistans this morning. Thank you for starving to death those children in India"? Or does it even mean, "Thank you for the food that they ate in Pakistan this morning"? No. I'm talking to you, when I say thanks for everything, I mean everything that you did. When the Bible says giving thanks for everything to God, it's not talking about thanking Him for what the devil did. It's talking about thanking Him for everything He did. So simple if you just understand it. Ephesians 5:20 is the verse that says that, giving thanks always for all things unto God. Well, you don't give thanks unto God for what somebody else did. Somebody gives me an apple pie and it wasn't you, I don't come up to you and say, "Thanks for that apple pie," do I? That's because I'm not an idiot. What do you think God thinks? Somebody comes up to Him and says, "Thanks for this cancer." He thinks, "I didn't give you a cancer. Don't thank me for it." "Thanks for this bankruptcy. Thanks for this problem in my marriage." God would say, "Hey, don't thank me for it. I didn't give it to you." But it's still better. It's better for you to be thankful, even if you got your thanks misplaced. Well, you don't need to have the wrong idea about God. That's the worst thing that could happen to you. But it's better for you to be in an attitude of thankfulness instead of an attitude of bitterness, even if you got your thanks misdirected. And I'll tell you what, a temptation that many of us, we learn more of the truth and we find out about faith and this principle of the Word of God and how God says this will work. And then we're more tempted than ever, if things aren't working out just the way we think and just the timing we think, we're more tempted than ever to be kind of depressed about it. And if nothing else, to be depressed about ourselves. "Well, I wonder why my faith isn't working as good as the pastor's or as Kenneth Copeland's, you know. Well, God did it for them. What's the matter with me? And I just must not be good enough. And what am I doing wrong?" And it can just deteriorate to the point where there's no thankfulness, there's no peace, there's no joy, none of the spiritual forces, there's no trust in God, there's just defeat, misery, depression. And who do you think wants you in that situation? Would you want your children to go through life feeling bad all their life, feeling guilty, feeling bad about themselves, always kind of hiding? I'm just so sorry that I was born. Oh, I feel so bad about myself. Oh, I can't stand to face anybody. I'm so ugly. I'm just so incompetent. I can't ever do anything. Would that make you happy? Of course not. Well, I don't think, if we believe the Bible makes it clear, Jesus made it clear, that God desires a relationship with people that's a father relationship. He desires to play the part of the father, a good father, a perfect father. Jesus said, you know, talking to people who were good parents, Jewish parents, traditionally been good. He said, if you, being evil, know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more will your heavenly Father, how much more your heavenly Father, he's going to be a better father than any earthly parent ever thought about being. How much more, 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 your heavenly Father. Well, your heavenly Father isn't interested in, and you going through your whole life feeling bad, feeling guilty, feeling defeated, feeling discouraged, always like the carrot is just out there about 3 feet out too far and you'll never reach it. Well, I'm going to be happy, you know. I'm going to be happy when I get that promotion. I'm going to be happy when I get married. I'm going to be happy when I do this. I'm going to arrive when I finally get to where I consistently read at least 10 chapters every day. I'm going to be happy when I'm going to... No. No, 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 no. That's why we're going to send y'all to communist prison camp for next year. Boy, who will I have to preach to? Maybe we'll better keep you around. Because then you're going to get a different perspective. God doesn't want you spending your time deprived in the prison camp. And he doesn't want you spending your life here in Colorado deprived of his joy. He wants you to be happy. Now that doesn't mean that you should just, well, I'm not happy with my husband, so I'm going to get rid of him. God wants me to be happy. That isn't what I'm saying at all. You got him, well, you just keep him. Start being thankful, and you can see things change. What is it? Did it say there in 1 Timothy 2:1? First of all, supplication, prayers, intercession, and giving of thanks be made for all men. That includes you. If you're not thankful to be you, then something is wrong with you. He said, that's why I'm not thankful. Something is wrong with me, and that's why I'm not thankful to be me. I'm not thankful that I'm the way I am. Something's wrong with me. You hit the nail right on the head. Well, that's the way a lot of preaching is, I think, many times. It's self-defeating. Self-defeating. We come along and tell people, oh, yes, God wants to bless you, but you better watch out. Now, if you get more than $2 together at any one time, you might backslide, so just forget it. Well, the Apostle Paul says, "I, by the grace of God, I am what I am." He says, "I am what I am by the grace of God." Well, it's easy for us to look at the Apostle Paul and say, oh, yeah, but what about ourselves? Does that apply to us? Are you what you are by the grace of God? Did God design you, or are you just a mutation? Huh? Did God design you? Are you God's plan? Or were you born out of God's plan? Which is it? Did God want you? Did God want to have a creature like you around? Or are you just a mistake? Are you an aberration? Are you something that's wrong? Are you something that should have been knocked in the head before you were ever thought of? Or does God want you around, and does God want you to be the way you are? Now you say, well, I know God doesn't want me to be the way I am. Well, how does he want you to be? Oh, perfect. Perfect. Well, I'm not going to argue with that, but he wants you to be perfectly you, and a perfect rose is different than a perfect petunia. A perfect mouse is different than a perfect horse. Right? And being a perfect you may be different than perfect TV person. Do you understand? I'm not going to tell you not to watch TV, because I believe that the people in the congregation ought to obey their pastor. That's why I'm telling you, watch TV. Because I know you're going to anyway, and I at least want you to be obedient. I believe you're going to get more blessings from God when you obey the pastor, and so you watch it. But just remind yourself every time you're watching it, every time you sit there, just remind yourself, this is not real. It's not like that. Life is not like that. Even when it comes to the TV preachers, it's not like that. You say, oh yeah, it's like that. Well, sort of, but not really, because they have to wash their underwear and brush their teeth and, you know, eat sometimes and mow their lawn. That's a part of their life, but it's not all of it. And they're not always anointed like that. So in that sense, it's not real. It's just giving you a small slice of life, and that part is real, but it's not the whole reality. Just like reading Brother Hagin's book, I thought, man, here's a guy that floated around in the clouds about, you know, 9 hours every day at least. And went to school there and started, you know, finding out more about the man. I was shocked a lot of times. I mean, here's somebody that goes and gets his hands dirty in the garden. Somebody that eats ice cream. Somebody that misses the meeting to watch the football game. I mean, here is a human being. What's the matter? I thought this guy was an angel or something. This is God's will for you, to be thankful that you are you. Now, I don't mean to be thankful for your faults so much, but I mean just to overlook them. I mean to get your eyes on God and His plan, and just to be able to say, God, if you wanted somebody ugly just so you would have somebody else to praise you and give you thanks, and that's why you made me, well, I'm just glad I'm here. Well, that wasn't really the way I meant it, but if that's what you're going to think, if that's what the devil is going to feed you, maybe he fed you, well, I'm just so no good, I'm just so bad, I'm just that, just the other. Don't let that defeat you. Here's the truth. The truth is, if you could see things the way God saw things, you'd have a different attitude. You'd have a different attitude. I don't know why all that you're going through right now or I'm going through right now is necessary, but I'm not God. Are you God? Liken it back to the baby business. Well, you may think, why do I have to go through all this? But 20 years from now, 30 years from now, eventually, you'll be able to look back and say, I'm sure glad I brought that one into the world. I'm sure glad I went through all that. And that's the same way with some of the spiritual things you're going through. That's the way with some of the things you're going through with your finances and so forth. Someday you're going to be able to look back and be thankful. At least be thankful that you got out of it. So what you need to do, if you want to be happy, I mean, do you think God wants His children to be happy or miserable? Well, there's only one way to be happy, and that's to be thankful. You can either wait until there's something you feel like being thankful about, or you can change your attitude and just start being thankful for everything, whether you feel like it or not. And then you'll realize that you're a lot happier person than you used to be. You can do it either way. But if you do it the first way, just to wait till something real wonderful comes along and then be happy, you're liable not to be happy very much of the time. About once a year you might get happy, and the rest of the time you're going to be miserable. And why torture yourself that way? You might as well be happy every day. God's going to be happier if you're happy. How many of you are just really happy when your children are always unhappy? They go around with their faces long. It's a bad life. After work, I do everything. It's bad. Does that make you happy? No, it just kind of messes up the atmosphere. Well, God has feelings. I'm sure He's not moved by them like we are, but He's happier if we're happier, I imagine. So why not be happy? There's only one way, and that's to be thankful. If you don't have what you'd like to be thankful for, well, just go ahead and be thankful for what you got. And I guarantee you that God is going to be doing everything He can to try to get something better to you. It may not show up by this afternoon, but it's going to show up. And in the meantime, you can go on and enjoy life. There's a fine line to some of this. I know God wants us to be concerned about other people. And if you got the love of God in your heart, you have to be concerned about other people. And God calls you to proclaim the good news. You have to be concerned about people dying, going to hell. But I've heard preachers preach, snap their fingers, and start out a message that way and saying, every time I snap my fingers, you know, so many people are going to hell. Well, that's a downer. I mean, you can't be full of joy and spend all of your waking hours thinking about how many people are going to hell this second because I didn't witness to them. You know what you got real quick? You got a guilt problem. And you don't have what Jesus says, my peace I give unto you. These things I've spoken unto you that your joy might be full. Your joy is empty. I mean, you're down, 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 down. Getting lower by the second, because I mean every second. You say, preacher, I shouldn't be concerned. I said there's a fine line. You should be concerned. But you can't carry the weight of the whole world. God didn't design you to be God. He designed you to be His child. And you're not responsible for anybody going to hell unless God says you are. What I mean is you're only responsible to do what God tells you to do. If He didn't tell you to go to China, you're not responsible for China. God's big enough to take care of China without you. Now that, you know, I read, now here's a person, T.L. Osborne, who's I'm talking about. Here's a person. I believe if I'm correct, he says that, you know, he didn't necessarily receive a call from God as far as being this worldwide missionary. It's just the word to say, God says, go and preach the gospel and so forth. But I got a letter not too long ago from his son-in-law. And he said in that letter that T.L. Osborne said that the secret of success was in not letting your vision go beyond God's plan for your life. Now that's something to think about. The secret of success is not letting your vision, of course he was talking from the standpoint of a preacher, but it applies in all of us, not letting your vision go beyond God's will for your life. Here's the man, to hear him preach, you'd think, well, we all should be out there, and we should in our world, but what is he saying? He's saying what Robert Fisher sent me some messages on tape some time ago about the grace of God was saying the same thing. You are what you are by the grace of God. You're not going to be a successful worldwide evangelist just because you decide to do it and just because you're diligent. Just because you pray as much as Kenneth Hagin doesn't mean you're going to be a prophet. Just because you read the Bible as much as Marilyn Hickey doesn't mean you're going to be a nationwide Bible teacher. Do you understand that? You're not going to be a rose if you're a petunia. There's just no way. You are what you are, and God wants you to be fruitful and productive at what you are, and He wants you to be happy about being you, and He doesn't want you to try to carry the weight of what the T.L. Osborne's supposed to do. If God want, here's the thing to think about. If God wanted, now I want them. I wish we had another 10 T.L. Osborne's. I don't mean, you know, the beard and the hairpiece and everything necessarily. What I mean is the ministry. I wish we had another 10 or 100 or 1,000 Oral Roberts. I wish we had another 1,000 of you. I'd be happy. 10,000. But if God wanted one, couldn't He make one? Couldn't He? Couldn't He? I believe there's plenty of people in the world that would yield to God, that would be diligent, that'd be faithful, that'd do what God wanted them to do. If He wanted another Catherine Kuhlman roaming the country right now, don't you think He could get one? Wouldn't you do it? Maybe, maybe not, but there's plenty of people that would. We got Bible schools with a lot of them in them. Sooner or later, folks, you got to come back to this. God is a big God. He's a good God. And I'm going to let Him be God. And I'm not going to try to play God. And I'm going to rejoice in the Lord always. And if He wants me to go next door, I'm going to go next door. If He wants me to go to Mexico, I'm going to go to Mexico. If He wants me to go across the street and change jobs, I'm going to go over there. But until then, I'm going to quit worrying about whether I'm out of God's will or not. I'm going to just rejoice in God. And I'm going to be thankful. And I'm going to be happy. I'm going to just walk with God. I'm going to enjoy His presence. I'm going to enjoy His blessing. And I'm not going to stay up all night, every night, worrying about somebody in Haiti that might go to hell. I care about them in Haiti. I'd like to help them. I'm going to send some money or send some missionaries. If I'm going to do what God directs me. I'm going to worship God with my money, with my giving, with my life. I'm going to honor God with my life. But I'm going to do what? One more scripture tells me to do, and that is in Philippians chapter 4. This is what we're going to do. Because we're actors on the Word, all we have to do is find Philippians. Philippians chapter 4, verse 6, be anxious for nothing. That means don't spend your time worrying and fretting and stewing. That means nothing. That means the people that are starving in India, as well as your lack of ability to do something so perceived by you. Do you understand that? That means not for you to worry all night long about, oh, I just wish I was a better person. I just wish I was different. I just wish God had, I wish I had curly hair instead of straight hair. You know, then I could save all that money I spent on permanents to give to missions. And God, I just wish that You'd have made me smarter so I could have been some kind of an engineer or something. I wish I'd have been a rocket scientist, you know. I had a big brain instead of a big belly. Just all that worrying and fretting and being upset about it. God, I wish I hadn't made that mistake, and then now my life is just ruined forever. And oh God, I wish I'd have been doing this better and all that. No. Be anxious for nothing. That means God wants you to be carefree. Right? God wants you to be happy. Well, being thankful is the opposite of being worried, isn't it? Sure it is. Be anxious for nothing, but in everything. I'm in Philippians 4:6, in case I didn't tell you. Be anxious for nothing, but in everything, by prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving, let your request be made known unto God. It's all right to ask God for things. It's all right to pray. Jesus said, ask that your joy may be full. It's all right to ask. But in the meantime, don't start grumbling and complaining. The answer's on the way. Rejoice that it's on the way. Thank God that it's on the way. Thank God for what you got now. Thank God for who you are now. If God wants to change you, He can. He can make a new man out of you, a new woman out of you. If He wants to, He can. He can change a Saul into a Paul, right? He can change a barren Sarah into Sarah, mother of nations. He can change you. You just walk with Him. He wants to change you. He will. He wants to make me a musician. He can. There's no sense in me being fretful. Oh, I just wish I'd have played the piano more when my mother tried to get me, and then I'd, you know, be up there with Dino. No, that's stupid for me to think that. We just need to go with the flow. God has a plan for your life, and you hadn't totally missed it. Even if you strayed a little bit, God is able to take what there is there and make it what He wants. You are what you are by the grace of God. If He wanted you to be different, He'd make you different. Period.